Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Lake Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Kyle Elliott, a tech career coach and trusted confidant to Silicon Valley's top talent. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And I'm excited about our topic today because it is a very, very important one. But before we get started, why don't you tell me about your leadership story or what got you thinking about leadership?
I fell into leadership. I originally wanted to work in nonprofits or healthcare. I went to school for pre-nursing, and then my path ended up having me at a university managing several residence halls, having a team of 23 direct reports.
Wow.
And I ended up leaving that full-time job to run my coaching business full-time. And now I work with senior managers and executives in tech who are trying to land leadership roles. And then once they're in them, they reach out and say, hey, I landed this role. I need help leading my team in my organization. Can you help me out? So I never imagined I'd be here. And I love absolutely every minute of it.
That's amazing. And so you had 23 direct reports. I mean, that is almost unheard of.
Unheard of. It's not normal. It was a lot. They ended up restructuring teams in the subsequent years because they said, this is a lot. Usually you should have 5 to 7. This is a lot. Mm-hmm. But I learned so much. It was my first time leading a team and I went neck deep into it. So I learned a lot. Hiring people, firing people, mentoring people. Yeah. It was really a powerful experience. And I have a lot of empathy for people who are managers.
Yeah, absolutely. I bet you do. All right. Let's get into our hot topic. And we're going to talk about mental health today. It's so important. And it is something that there's still a stigma around and that workplaces don't always like to talk about. So why don't we start by getting your sense about why is this not still talked about enough? What is holding people back from talking about this?
There's quite a few reasons. Part of it, as we go through, I'm going to share my personal experience. And then part of this is research. I wrote my doctoral dissertation on this topic, mental health storytelling, specifically on college campuses, but a lot of this stems beyond that. I think part of it, there's just not enough experience. We're not used to talking about mental health in the workplace. And then when we do, sometimes we have negative experiences. My own interest in this was when I was working at that university, I shared my experience with mental health. I had just went to a therapy session. I shared that with a colleague nonchalantly, and she said, are you crazy? Am I safe being around you, Kyle? Just because I had shared I went to therapy. So there's a lot of negative stigma when we talk about mental health in the workplace. We're worried about being labeled. There's negative consequences. So I think people just haven't had enough practice. And then when they do share, there's often backlash.
That's very interesting because when I was working in corporate, a lot of people would talk to me about something going on in their life and, you know, realizing that it's such a big piece of the workplace. It really is, because even though something's going on at home, they're bringing that in one way or another to work, right? I mean, we all have some sort of mental health at some point. Even if you lose somebody in your mourning, a death, I mean, that is, you know, even one that maybe everybody can relate to, right? It's huge.
Exactly. And we can't separate that. I remember the other day I was making lunch and my pasta fell all over the oven. Still, that's such a little example. And that impacts, like, I'm going to come to my next session frustrated that this pasta I was looking forward to eating and so excited about that I saved. That's going to impact the rest of my day. All of us have mental health and it's going to impact us. And I find a lot of managers, especially those who aren't trauma-informed, assume that when you go into work, you just shut off your emotions and feelings, but we're not robots, we're human. Mm-hmm. So when we come into the workplace, things from home are gonna bleed in. And then when we go home, work's gonna come home. We can't just shut off it when it hits 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whenever you stop working.
That's totally true, especially if you're a leader, because you got so much going on in the to-do list and worrying about this, that, or the other thing, or maybe the economy's causing problems. Like that comes home, absolutely agree. Both ways, goes to work and it comes home. So how can we start the conversation if we are in an organization that doesn't talk about it? That maybe, like, when how you were treated with, is it okay to be around you? How do we stop that and start talking properly about mental health?
I think it's practice, just getting used to it and practicing and starting slow. It doesn't have to be that you become a therapist. I think oftentimes when managers hear talking about mental health at work, they feel that they have to be a therapist. And you don't have to do that. You're not expected to be a therapist for your employees. We're not asking that. Instead, it's introducing mental health conversations in the workplace. One of the ways I've done it is we go around during staff meetings and maybe say, can you name in one word how you're feeling today? Or what's a color that describes how you're feeling? There's low-hanging fruit to start to introduce mental health conversations into the workplace. Your organization probably already does this too. You might have an EAP or employee assistance program. It's called different things in different countries. But you probably already have mental health resources and just talking about them and saying, hey, as a reminder, we have this program that offers free coaching or free therapy. Or, hey, just as a reminder, you have some floating holidays. Remember to take them off. So, just introducing that, and as a manager or leader, really being a role model for that is one of the best steps you can take.
Yeah, definitely role modeling. And I want to come back to like the light tools. And something that somebody told me they did, and I loved it, is they went to a dollar store and they just got these little, the squishy balls for your hands. And they had different faces, a smiley face, a sad face, an angry face. And it would be, who are you today? Because then, as your leader or even your peer, I know how to approach you. I know that maybe you're really sad. Maybe something's going on, and I don't have to know why, but I can see that you got the little sad face ball or whatever, that you're talking colors, right? So it makes sense to do that as a lighter way of starting.
I love that. I remember in my last job, I had this little I got it at the Dollar Tree, I think, or Target's. Like, we have like a $3 or $5 bin section, and it had different faces with just emotions. And when staff would come in during their one-on-one, they're like, here's how I'm feeling. And it's a way to just introduce that and acknowledge how people are feeling. And some people want to open up, some don't. But it's just a powerful way to encourage that and recognize that not everyone's just going to be happy all the time or excited.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are the things that we can look for as leaders that maybe we're recognizing someone isn't doing well? Of course, most places have confidentiality where you can't go and say, "Hey, Kyle, are you whatever?" And we can't ask those types of questions. So how can we recognize symptoms or what we're seeing, and how do we approach, in a way that maybe meets, but we'll just call it most laws, because it depends where you're from, right? What do you think?
So there's research that shows that mental health directly impacts your performance, your productivity. So if you notice someone's performance or productivity is dropping, I would check in with them. Oftentimes managers will just say, hey, your performance is dropping, but I would lead with curiosity. As a coach, I'm a huge fan of that. Say, hey, I notice that your performance is dropping, or hey, I notice you've been late to our stand-up meetings. Can you tell me a bit about that? What's going on? I just want to check in and make sure everything's okay. They may not say anything right away, but checking in and being curious can be really powerful if you notice their performance or their productivity is dropping, or hey, you just seem a little different. Not accusing you of anything. I just want to make sure you know I'm here. It's going to depend on the employee as well. But when they're onboarding as well, you can ask, hey, right now things are going great, but if I notice a dip, what's the best way for me to check in? Some people
That's
are going to
beautiful.
prefer kind of direct. Other people might prefer a Slack message or an email. So learning their style as well can be really helpful. Some folks want that directness. Other people like a Slack message. Other people like me, I'm not going to want that Slack message. I'm going to want it really direct. So a Slack message might feel difficult, but checking in can be really powerful, and doing it in their preferred style as well.
Communication with the audience, right? Make sure
Exactly.
you change that communication to who you're talking to. I want to come back to something though, because by the time this pops out, I will have already had a Tip Thursday with Tara on this podcast out about not making assumptions and being curious. So you caught me with that, because I love that curiosity piece, right? So the idea is, don't make an assumption because someone is quiet in a meeting that they don't have thoughts. Maybe they need to process. Maybe they got something else going on. And so being curious afterwards and saying something like, saw you were quiet in the meeting. What are your thoughts on what we talked about? Maybe another way to approach it. What do you think about that type of approach?
I think exactly that. It could be so many different reasons. That's one of the reasons when I do workshops, I don't call on people because there's so many reasons they could be quiet. It could be they have a stomach ache. It could be their cat passed away that morning. It could be maybe they're like me. I'm a huge introvert, so I like thinking and noodling, and then I'll come back with some ideas. So people think differently. And then you could say, hey, I noticed you were quiet. Could you tell me about that? And it could be maybe something really is up wrong with them, or something's going on, or maybe that's just their preferred style and they want to contribute differently. This is kind of an off topic, but that's why I love giving agendas so people who have different learning styles can think. But coming back, another technique too is having one-on-ones. If you have one-on-ones already with your direct reports, this is going to sound super obvious. But if you don't, this is a key reason to have one-on-ones every 2 weeks or monthly. So you can check in regularly with people and notice, are there differences that are going on with them? And if they seem more quiet or their productivity has changed or maybe their mood is different, you can check in and see if they've changed from meeting to meeting.
And much better than just doing it annual review because that's too late, depending on what might be going on. So you talked about an EAP, Employee Assistance Program, where coaching, consulting, although everything else is available. Actually, sometimes they have blog posts that could even help people. What other resources could leaders or organizations have that could help a team member who might be in need?
So Lenny's newsletter recently did a survey. This is specifically of tech workers since I work in tech, but my guess is that it extends beyond that. Only one in four tech workers report having a good manager. I was shocked by this. One in four. So three out of four don't report having a good manager. So I think part of it is teaching managers how to be good managers. What happens is most people start as an individual contributor and then they grow. When I shared earlier, I went from having never managed someone to having 23 people I was managing.
Yeah, that's a
I was never
lot.
taught how to have a one-on-one, how to do a performance review, how to coach someone. Add a fire to people, you're never taught that stuff, or very rarely. So I think part of it is teaching managers how to be managers and how to do this.
Yeah,
And not
absolutely.
assuming they know how to do this. Or maybe they have done it, but they weren't taught well. They just kind of figured it out and they're like, well, let me kind of guess how to fire someone. Let me guess how to coach someone who's crying during a one-on-one, whatever it is. So I think it's teaching managers how to support their employees, and then also teaching managers how to care for themselves. It's stressful being a manager, it can be overwhelming. So, checking in with those managers and providing support and resources for them as well.
Yeah, and I think that's a key point that we should talk about is the leader who may have a mental health concern going on, whatever that might be, and now they're not being effective, and maybe we know, maybe I know I have something going on, and I'm ignoring my employees, I'm ignoring text messages, whatever that is, and how we work, and no one comes to me. What do I do? What can I do?
Exactly. Most of my clients are senior managers through executives. So they're often that person that people come to, but then they're like, who do I go to? It's kind of like, who's helping the helper? And I think it's critical that those people have support. As you grow in your career, you're not always going to have someone internally. I think people, it's, they start in their career, they're going to have their boss, they might have a mentor. And as you grow to realize that you might have to look outside your organization, maybe you reach out to a former boss to mentor you. Or provide you support, you might need a coach, you might have a therapist. I like thinking of it, I didn't coin this term, but a personal board of directors, three, four, five people you can reach out to provide you support and realize as you grow again, it's not going to just be inside your organization. It might be external people that you have to rely on for help. Yes, your organization may have an EAP or different people or your boss, but as you grow, you're going to get less airtime and you might have to look external.
And it gets a little lonely up there if you don't have that personal board of directors, which I've heard about before too, have my own now. It's great. Or community, like I have just built a community for those leaders just for peer support or peer sharing, right? It's there. You just got to go look for it. So yeah, I agree. We need to take care of ourselves because it's really hard to take care of our business obligations and our employees when we can't, don't take care of ourselves first, right?
I think that community is key. I would join that community then if someone's listening to this and wants it, because that's critical, because it's lonely. Sometimes you don't want to talk about it internally either. If you're struggling, you want that confidential space. So I think that community is critical. If I only had one thing to share, that would be one of them, finding community and realizing you don't have to go at it alone, especially when it comes to your mental health. It can feel so lonely and isolating, or saying, I'm the only one that's dealt with this. And then as you talk to other people, I'll often say, hey, can you raise your hand if you've dealt with X? And usually every other person on the call will raise their hand and realize they're far from alone.
Especially when it comes to something that everybody can experience. So I've done this once before too. I'm like, okay, you all say that you're good. Who here has experienced a death in their life? Pets or people? Well, every hand goes up, right? You've all mourned somebody. That is mental health. It doesn't have to be what the stigma is of mental health. Mental health is a huge, broad thing. It could be anything from depression to, all of the deep rooted schizophrenia. I mean, there is a huge, broad area, and we can get through most of it, especially together. So, what are a few strategies that can help us if we're going through struggles or temporary challenges at work that we can? So maybe we have our EAP, but what are those things that really can, those strategies for us,
One of them is slowing down. I find when people have difficult things going on, they want to speed up. They want to do more. Maybe they want to bury themselves in their work. Maybe they want to take on extra hobbies or extracurriculars. I would suggest slowing down. The only way to kind of get over something is to move through it. You have to really get and feel those feelings, those thoughts, those emotions. So it just suggests slowing down, maybe taking some stuff off your plate. Yes, you have a to-do list, but are there things that can be on your not to-do list? Maybe I'm going to attend less meetings. Maybe I'm going to delegate. I would practice really slowing down through that and being present. I would ask for help, realizing you don't have to go it out alone. That's something I always repeat, the community. Can you ask your boss for help, your direct reports, friends, family? And then the last thing is boundaries. You might need some space. You might need to take some time off, practicing some boundaries. And that might not be right away. You might say, the day this happened, I feel fine to go to work. And then 3 months later, you're like, this is really difficult and hard for me. Or maybe 10 years later, and realizing it's going to come in waves and practicing those boundaries, which is really just communicating your needs, your desires, your wants.
You said two key things I want to come back to. One is delegating. I mean, I always tell leaders, why are you doing things that is somebody else's to-do list? That just stresses you out, it overwhelms, and it can lead to burnout. And burnout sometimes means you're off for a while because you can't process anything, right? Delegate is such a key thing. Do you find that with your clients, a lot of times they are doing other people's work? Like they're just saying, oh, just give it to me, I'll take care of it, instead of saying, well, what do you think you should do?
This is audio only, but I'm like vigorously shaking my head because yes, I literally had a call earlier today. I'm like, you're the CEO. Why are you doing anything? It really, you should just be strategizing. You should be delegating everything. It should be that you have the vision, the strategy, the ideas, and then you're delegating.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and delegate, delegate, delegate. The other thing is delete. So you talked about meetings. You talked about, I always challenge people when they tell me they don't have any time. What meeting do you not have to be in? And I stress the have to, because there's so many times when it's optional for you to actually be there. You don't actually need to be there. And to get, just decline those meetings. Man, you can find so much time by doing that, because calendars, they just fill themselves sometimes, right?
I haven't thought of the word delete around calendars, but I love that. I'll sometimes give my clients a challenge. One of my clients was working on a big strategy project for their VP, and I said, okay, every Friday I want you to get rid of or delete 8 hours of meetings the subsequent week. Because he's like, I just need 8 hours a week to do this project. And that was his goal. Every week, go delete 8 hours. And he's like, oh, I deleted like 12 that I didn't even need. Why was I in these
Bingo.
meetings? You can delegate someone to go or ask for an update or shrink meetings from an hour and a half to 30 minutes. Or why are you meeting every week? Like, really just go through and be strategic with your time.
Which brings me to the other thing you pointed out that I love, which is boundaries. And that can include meeting times. Stick to them, right? If it's an hour, don't go an hour and a half, stop at an hour. What other boundaries can we have? So, maybe it means we go home at a certain time. We don't do work at night. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, it could be boundaries with yourself. I, again, just talking with a different client today, I suggest people be 100% at work or 100% at home. And it
Love
doesn't
that.
mean for a lot of people I work with, they can't just stop work at 5 and then not work again till Monday. But instead, maybe you're going on a trip and you just have to work a little bit. Maybe you work on the plane the whole way there and then you can be present on your trip. Or a lot of my clients are executives. So maybe you're working on the trip. You say, I'm only going to work every night for an hour in the hotel room and then be present. Instead of every 20 minutes checking your phone, can you be 100% present with your family and then 100% on your laptop? When I go on trips often, that's what I do. I have clients where I can't just say, okay, bye for a week. Good luck. But instead, I tell my partner, hey, for 20 minutes, I'm going to go to the lobby and respond to all my emails, and then I can be present while we're at Disneyland. So having
Yeah.
some sort of boundaries with other people and with yourself. And boundaries isn't just communicating them or setting them, but it's continually reinforcing them as well, which is really key. And then over time, you might have to tweak them as well. Hey, I didn't
Yeah.
like this boundary. I need to tweak it as well.
It's interesting. I was talking to a client today and they're going on a vacation. They were very, very worried about going on vacation. I said, "Well, how much time are you going to work on vacation?" And they said, "An hour a day." I said, "Okay, is it necessary to work an hour a day?" And she said to me, "No, I just want to check my emails." I'm like, "Do you need to check your emails?" And eventually she came down to, "I only need to work an hour a week. And if it's an urgent thing," she was going to write down everything that would be the emergency that you would text me for. Like, I think that was an excellent boundary that we finally came down for her. It doesn't work for everybody. She's a business owner, but it doesn't always work for everybody. But I think it's key. Absolutely.
And setting that and communicating and figuring out what works for you. It's going to be different for everyone. Some people really can just clock out. They have that kind of job. Other people, maybe you give someone your phone number, finding those boundaries and setting it. My mom works in HR at a hospital, and she loves saying, we work in HR, not the ER. Like, if you really need something that urgent, you can go to ER, and it's really
Yeah,
a
I love
truly
that.
emergency. We're not going to have an emergency here in HR. And clarifying what's truly an emergency or urgent and what not can be helpful.
Yeah, we talked about that today too when I was talking to her about, I used to call it when I was on vacation. I called it the quote unquote 911 emergency. So it might be someone walked out, someone did get hurt because I was running Canada. So I needed to know if those, big things happened. But if it's just a process wasn't followed or an order got messed up, handle it. I don't need to know about it. Handle it, right? Creating those types of boundaries.
I think that's beautiful. And giving people examples so they know, like, here's a true emergency, and here's what's can wait till I get back.
Exactly. Excellent. Let me ask you this because I would love to sum this up today. It's a great conversation about mental health. What is the one tip that you could give an organization who is not quite there yet and starting to implement things? What is the one hot tip you would provide them?
I would give your manager some resources. I think having managers feel like, oh, I just have to talk about mental health, give them some resources. Is it, hey, here's how to provide some language about how to refer to the EAP program. Here are some questions that managers can ask someone who's struggling or some language. I think oftentimes people are just thrown in the deep end, and giving some resources or tips are really helpful. It could be, hey, here's an article or a book. I think oftentimes it can be really difficult for a manager in the moment. So if you are that manager in the moment and you don't have those resources, I would slow down, breathe, be present with that person. Often all they need is a listening ear. And if you're the organization, train and enable your managers. It can be overwhelming. It doesn't have to be comprehensive. They're not becoming therapists. They're just becoming trauma-informed, mental health-informed.
I think the training and the information is key to any organization who's not ready to start. This is a great place to start. Thank you so much for that good tip and for the whole conversation today. I hope we've reached a few more organizations to help them get started or move forward with mental health. If our audience did want to learn more about you, can they find you online somewhere?
Yes, my website, caffeinatedkyle.com, and then I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, Kyle Elliott, with two L's and two T's.
Excellent. Thank you again for sharing all your insights today.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Of course, we do want to thank you, our audience. We do hope you gained some valuable insights and information from today's conversation with Kyle. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave us a great rating. This helps us and our guests like Kyle reach even more leaders with helpful stories, tips, and advice. We love helping other leaders grow and thrive. And as mentioned, we have a brand new Amplifying Leadership Circle community. More information is found at amplifyingleadership.ca/community-info. Leadership is better when we do it together. For more information about our Amplifying Leadership services, please visit us anytime at amplifyingleadership.ca, a division of Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.